Today, along with really the worldwide church, we celebrate the wonderful day of Pentecost. This is the day, as we've heard already, especially from Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit, the very breath of God, the very power of God was poured out, breathed out upon the disciples of Jesus Christ. We're going to focus today, really zero in on that reading we heard from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I always love how Luke sets the scene for us for Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Just to sit there for a brief moment here, that scene that we can picture in our minds of the mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire falling upon the disciples, that happens to a group of a bunch of tired, weary people. And I think that ought to be comforting to us. I don't think they felt particularly ready. I don't think they felt particularly spiritual in that moment. I think if you had asked them, I think they would have said that they weren't really doing anything particularly spiritual at that moment. And yet, by grace, God pours out his power, his presence, the person of the Holy Spirit upon them. It was good news for them, for that group of tired, weary people. But the reason why we celebrate Pentecost this morning is because it's also good news for us too. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God's gift of the fullness. I want to highlight that word maybe a million times today. Fullness of his Holy Spirit poured out upon you and me in Christ, dwelling within us. I just think it ought to amaze us and delight us to know that for every believer in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how you feel. Sometimes your feelings can be quite misleading or even dangerous. Here's what you can know because of Jesus, because of Pentecost. You can know that the same Spirit who hovered over the waters in creation, the same Spirit who came upon the patriarchs and the prophets in the Old Testament, the same Spirit who Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 37, raising up an army of dry bones, the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit who fell upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2, that same Spirit indwells you, believer, the same Spirit. I want to highlight those words, the same Spirit. Would you just say those words with me this morning? The same Spirit, not a lesser Spirit for you, not some kind of weaker version or watered down version through the centuries for you. The same Spirit for you, indwelling you, resting upon you, the same Spirit. And we encounter those words or similar words over and over and over again in this section we're going to look at today from 1 Corinthians 12 that Jill read to us a few minutes ago. Just want us to look at these verses this morning on this Pentecost Sunday. I think that in most of your pew Bibles, this might be on page 959. Some of the Bibles are large print, and so I don't know what page this is on in those Bibles, but most of the Bibles in your pews, you'll find this on page 959, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 13. And we're sort of parachuting into 1 Corinthians this morning for Pentecost. We've been in John for months as a congregation. Beginning next Sunday, we'll be in the Psalms for the summer. So today, just one Sunday in this book. And so for the sake of time, just to set some broad context for us, let me just say that Paul basically wrote this letter to the church in Corinth because they were an absolute mess. They were an absolute mess on all sorts of levels, including, not limited to, but including their understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You may have been a part of a church at some point in your life that is a mess when it comes to the person or the work of the Holy Spirit. And I would just love for us, Truro, to be a church that just continues to immerse ourselves in the scriptures about all things, especially when it comes to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you have this chapter open in front of you, you'll notice it begins in verse 1, chapter 12 does, with Paul saying this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. That's a really diplomatic way of saying you're uninformed. Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, you're uninformed and you're driving me crazy. That's what Paul is saying. So what seems to have happened in the church in Corinth was that in the years that had passed since Pentecost, since those events we heard about in Acts chapter 2, the New Testament church had tried to understand and put into practice what it looked like and worked like to live on this side of Pentecost. All throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon particular people at particular times in particular places for particular purposes. But think of the prophet Joel, who prophesied that the Spirit would be one day poured out on all flesh, not just particular flesh, but all flesh, all who believe in Christ. And so this has now happened, and the New Testament church is trying to figure out, what do we do now? How do we live and get together and operate as a church on this side of Pentecost? And so in this way, the church in Corinth was a mess. And Paul writes to them because one of the ways they were a mess when it came to the Holy Spirit is this. They saw the different manifestations of the Holy Spirit as indicating different measures of the Holy Spirit. So here's what that would look like for them. If Walter over here, and there must have been a Walter in Corinth somewhere, I don't know. Just, if Walter over here had a gift that somehow they had just deemed inferior, then somehow they thought that Walter had an inferior measure of the Holy Spirit. But that if Wendy over here had a spiritual gift that for some reason they had deemed superior, then that must mean that Wendy had a superior measure of the Holy Spirit. So here's Wendy with more of the Holy Spirit indwelling her because of the shiny spiritual gift that Wendy has. But poor Walter over here, whose spiritual gift may be less shiny, somehow has an inferior measure of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. And this cannot be true. There are no inferior spiritual gifts. There are no superior spiritual gifts. There is not one believer who has 1/8 of the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within him, and another believer who has 7/8 of the Holy Spirit dwelling within her. That's bad math. You may have heard the old joke about how 5 out of 4 people are bad at math. That's me right there. This is bad math, that somehow Walter can have less of the Holy Spirit than Wendy does if they're both believers. It's not how the Holy Spirit works. There are different degrees of yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, and we'll get here in a moment. I mean, goodness, in my life, depending on the hour, there are different degrees of yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? But right now, we're not talking about yieldedness to the Spirit. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And for each believer, he or she is indwelt by the same Spirit. Different degrees of yieldedness, different kinds of manifestations of the Holy Spirit, post-Pentecost especially. These manifestations are called gifts very often. But while there are different manifestations of the Holy Spirit, there is one measure of the person of the Holy Spirit. And Paul wants to get that clear when and if there is a church or a Christian who's a bit of a mess when it comes to things of the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, we need to know that every believer is filled with the same person of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't chop himself off to live in some people and move in more full degree in others. So that's why here, in this section of 1 Corinthians that we're looking at, Paul is helping and correcting the church then and now, when and if we think about the Holy Spirit and the gifts wrongly. A church can get really weird really quickly when it thinks wrongly that different people have more of the Holy Spirit than others. And the way you can tell who has more of the Holy Spirit is by what gifts they have. What they were getting wrong about the Holy Spirit and his gifts in Corinth, we can also get wrong. So there's no better Sunday than Pentecost for us. Before we get into the Psalms, just to stop and say, okay, Holy Spirit, through your word, help me think correctly about yourself. So let's parachute in to 1 Corinthians 12 for a few more minutes and consider first the beautiful sameness of the Spirit. The beautiful sameness of the Spirit. Paul says, we're going to look at verses 4-6 for a few minutes here. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So notice that Paul just said the same thing three different ways. Why did he do that? He didn't do that just because he had a thesaurus in front of him. He said it that way very intentionally. He said it those three ways to ground the beautiful sameness of the Holy Spirit. He grounds that sameness of the Spirit in the one in threeness of the Trinity. The same Spirit must indwell each believer, because the Spirit cannot be divided. Our triune God cannot be divided. Paul's repetition here is important. He's teaching us how to live and how to think on this side of Pentecost. The church will become a mess if we think that somehow the Holy Spirit is just divided up amongst us in millions of different slices of the Holy Spirit pie. That's not the way to think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he is the same Spirit in you as he is in me. And Paul grounds this in the person of the Spirit and the person of the Son and the person of the Father. So, track with me here. Verse 4, he says there are varieties of gifts. Verse 5, varieties of service. Verse 6, varieties of activities. Gifts seems to be what we receive. Services seems to be what we contribute. Activities seems to be what we do. Gifts, services, activities. But look at what he places and who he places, really, more accurately, behind, underneath, around all of this, all the manifestations of the Spirit. He says there is the same Spirit, verse 4, the same Lord, verse 5, and the same God, verse 6. What is he doing here? He's saying Spirit, Lord, God. It's a Trinitarian presentation of our one God. Spirit, Lord, God. In the original language, pneuma, kyrios, theos, Spirit, Jesus, Father. Here's his point. His point for this church in Corinth that was a mess when it came to the person and the gifts and the manifestation of the practice of the person of the Holy Spirit. His point is that while the manifestations are different in every believer, the measure of the Spirit is the same in each believer. Because the Spirit who indwells each believer is one with the Father and one with the Son. So behind, underneath, undergirding, surrounding all the gifts and services and activities that are manifested in the church, capital C, and even in this church, lowercase c. Behind all of that is God, God, God. Every single one of us in this room is different. Some of us are more different than others. Every single one of us is different. God has given us all different gifts. Praise God. Different manifestations of himself. That does not mean he has given us different measures of himself. Paul circles back to this thought to reinforce this point in verses 12 through 13. Look there with me. He says, "For just as the body is one," he's using a picture of a human body. It has many members, hands, feet, eyes, a nose. All the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 13, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, Republicans or Democrats, rich or poor, men or women, children or adults. All were made to drink of what? One spirit." One spirit is the foundation for the New Testament church to walk in the Spirit and to pursue the gifts of the Spirit. Great. But first, you got to get clear on the person. By grace and through faith in Christ, believer, hear me, you have the whole Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, are you yielded to him? No. Are you growing in yieldedness to him? Please, Lord, may that be true. Are you ever fully yielded to him? No. Can you grow in walking in the Spirit, walking with the Lord, growing up into Christ our head? Yes. Do you ever fully arrive at a place of 100% yieldedness? No. We're learning to walk in the Spirit, learning to yield more and more to the fullness of the Spirit. But this is important, what I'm going to say. Learning to walk in the Spirit and learning to exercise these gifts of the Spirit isn't about learning how to somehow acquire more of the Spirit. It's about learning to let the Spirit acquire more of you. There's a major difference there. If our walk with the Lord, or if our eagerness for the things or the gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit is somehow a quest for us to somehow get more of God, that's not the quest. He's given us the fullness of himself. We have not given him the fullness of ourselves. That's the problem. And the good news is the Spirit helps us with this. Helps us to surrender. Helps us to yield. One little baby step at a time. The same Spirit who hovered over the waters, who came upon the patriarchs and prophets, who Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel 37, raising up that army of dry bones, who raised Christ from the dead, who filled that upper room in Acts chapter 2, the same Spirit, not a lesser Spirit, not a weaker Spirit, not a diluted Spirit, not one-third of the Spirit. All, fully, the same Spirit dwells in you. Paul teaches us here about the beautiful sameness of the Spirit. The New Testament church has got to get this. But he also teaches us then, based on that foundation, about the beautiful variety of the gifts of the Spirit. And we've got to get that foundation, because if we just fast forward to the gifts, if we just fast forward to the variety, well, then we become a mess. We got the foundation of the sameness of the Spirit, and now we rejoice in the beautiful variety of the gifts of the Spirit. So in this section of 1 Corinthians 12, what Paul is doing here is listing various gifts. It's not an exhaustive list, but he lists various gifts that the Spirit may very well give to you as he lives in you, as he acquires more and more of you, as you're yielding yourself, surrendering yourself to him. But he is so clear here even before he lists the gifts, to make clear that none of these gifts are inferior for poor little Walter, and none of these gifts are superior for shiny little Wendy. None of the gifts of the Spirit are inferior or superior. Two reasons why that's true. First, because of verse 7. Paul says the gifts of the Spirit are given, quote, for the common good. So think about this room right now, the variety of the spiritual gifts that are represented in this room right now. I mean, it's just amazing to think what God has given to us in the Spirit. Gifts that are not our own by flesh, but it's just given to us by the Spirit. These are beautiful things that we rejoice and celebrate in one another. And a church becomes a mess. People become a mess. A church becomes spiritually dysfunctional when we're jealous of one another, when we can't rejoice in one another, when we can't celebrate one another. Because what we're rejoicing in, what we're celebrating in, is not Wendy or Walter, but in God, who has distributed gifts, quote, for the common good. Praise God. Not praise Walter, poor little Walter. Second, none of our spiritual gifts are inferior or superior because of verse 11. Paul says all of the gifts that you and I have, all of them are empowered by, here it is again, one and the same Spirit who apportions, distributes. It's like the best Christmas you can ever imagine. To each one individually as he wills. Pastoral word number one, if this is you, be careful not to fret about your spiritual gifts. You don't need to fret, especially if you think or you've been lied to or you've been wrongly taught that they're inferior. That's a lie of the devil. Second, perhaps more importantly, be careful not to boast about your spiritual gifts if you think that somehow they're superior. Because the same Holy Spirit who apportioned these gifts to you is the same Holy Spirit who could take these gifts away from you. The Spirit apportions, distributes across the body of Christ gifts such as, verse 8, wisdom and the utterance of knowledge, a gift of wisdom and knowledge that is not yours. Faith or gifts of healing. So that's a faith or the ability to pray for someone to heal them. It's a gift that is not yours, a healing that is not yours. The working of miracles or prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits or the gift of tongues, that's a prayer language, a worship language that is not yours. Or the interpretation of tongues. Those are ears that are not yours. These supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit do continue today. Truro is and has been for 50 years a charismatic church in that we believe in the ongoing ministry, the ongoing supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. I wish we had more time, someday we will, to dive into all of this, but we believe in the continuation. Sometimes I'll describe myself as a continuationist because sometimes people imagine if I'm a charismatic, I'm gonna swing from these chandeliers and ask for all your money. Sorry, that's a bad joke, but I believe the Lord's gifts of the Spirit continue for today, but they continue within the parameters of Scripture. Under the authority of Scripture, never as a supplement to Scripture. Paul encourages the church to pursue these gifts. Pursue these gifts. Go on, practice them, even when it's messy. And he provides for us, God provides for us in his word, the guidebook as we pursue and practice these gifts. You can ask God to give you these gifts as long as the Scripture is your guide. And as long as you get these two things straight from this text this morning as we talk about and think about living on this side of Pentecost when it comes to the person and the gifts of the Spirit. First, get this straight, that the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit should not be confused for the measure of the Spirit. Verse 11a, all are empowered by one and who? The same Spirit. Second, get this straight, that the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit is 100% up to the will of the Spirit. Verse 11b, He, the Spirit, apportions to each one individually as He wills. And so as we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, seek to be yielded to the Spirit, seek to be open to whatever gifts of the Spirit has given to us, we can rest on those words, as He wills, knowing that whatever gifts He gives you are good because He is good. And where we go wrong and where we become a mess, and I'm preaching to myself here, first and foremost, is when we focus and we fixate on the gifts rather than the giver. The point of the gifts is not the gifts. The point of the gifts is to point to the giver. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 11. He said, if you then who are evil, meaning if you then who are sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? He'll give good things to those who ask Him. But also do not forget the wonderful picture of Pentecost. He also gives good things to those who are exhausted and who are weary and who aren't feeling particularly spiritual or who aren't doing anything particularly spiritual. Your Heavenly Father gives good gifts to those who ask Him and to those who are too tired, too weary, too confused to even know what to ask. All we're asked to do is when the Spirit comes upon us and leads us and guides us, whether it's in a mighty rushing wind or a mighty blast of a tongue of fire, or like today, gentle rain, yield. Concerning spiritual gifts, Truro, I do not want you to be uninformed. The foundation is that we yield, simply yield to the fullness of the person of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit. We yield. And then we continue to yield as He distributes gifts as He wills. Let's pray. God, we thank You that You are the most generous, wise, wonderful giver that we could ever imagine. God, our Father, You have given us Jesus, Your Son, to save us, to redeem us, to reconcile us to God, and You have given us Your Holy Spirit in full, without measure. Thank You, God, our Father, for giving us Your Son and leaving Your Spirit till the work on earth is done. We yield to You afresh this morning. We pray that You would help us to yield or help us to want to yield and use us and fill us and give us gifts as You will. Come, Holy Spirit, would You just move afresh in our lives and in this church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.